This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Happy New Year.
Merry
New Year.
Saw you yesterday.
I know.
Shout out to Miss Jean
for the
coffee cake.
Yeah,
Miss
Jean.
Outstanding.
Miss Jean sent you a little care package, didn't she?
Outstanding.
The homemade.
It was good.
Coffee cake. It was gone before the Rose Bowl?
It's about 3/4 finished.
Really?
Yep. I didn't sleep last night, so I may have to go up there during a commercial break and
maybe have some on the air today.
Just to kind of get jump started today. It's good.
Yeah, good. Glad to hear it. Miss Jean will be very happy when she watches the radio replay, as they say.
Outstanding. We have gifts on the table, which we're not going to do now.
Oh, we're not?
Not now, but we'll get to it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, there's some things here if we go to the shop from the upper deck. A couple of things that have I found on a quick trip to see my mom for the new year.
Miss Jean.
Yeah, Miss Jean. And a couple things that two of them are Carolina related, and they'll be in the rotating of the memorabilia here in the basement, as it were. And then I got a picture that we're going to go through that will be
awesome.
Classic.
That's great.
Good show today, by the way. Got some things to go over. We got some news items, ironically. And we'll get to your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACCN as well, as we kind of get into basketball tonight. Full heavy schedule of women's games on the ACC basketball calendar.
Since we did not have a show on New Year's Day.
Yes, sir.
So it's been 48 hours since we've done a program.
That's right.
There wasn't a lot of great news on the football front.
I got to be honest with you. No, sir.
Before we even get to games, Jamie Newman decided to go to the transfer portal, leaving Wake Forest.
Right.
There are rumors that Oregon could be his location. I have no idea. We'll have to wait and see. And again, the Ducks won the Rose Bowl yesterday. But I was, you know, you got your degree. You're allowed to do whatever you want if you got eligibility. Let it rip. I wanted him to stay.
Well, so did I, because I thought it would be a good year for quarterbacks in the ACC.
No doubt.
Well, but herein lies, I guess, the new world we live in, right? Because if Jamie Newman has a year left and Sam Hartman essentially is taking a red shirt this year, then essentially in order to protect yourself as a coach, be it Dave Clawson or anybody else, you got to have two, I'm guessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out where Jamie Newman came in 2018 after Sam Hartman got hurt against Syracuse, led him to the win against State on the Thursday night. Duke closed the regular season, then won the Birmingham Bowl, then came back and won a preseason battle with Sam Hartman. Hartman ends up coming in and playing, but I don't think Sam Hartman saw action in four games, so that allows him to redshirt, right? By rule, he can redshirt. So now all of a sudden, if you're Dave Clawson, you got a fifth-year quarterback, Jamie Newman, and you got a redshirt quarterback in Sam Hartman, and you're kind of out of checks and balances a little bit. So in today's world, somebody's going to go. And with the transfer portal, you graduate and move on, coach.
Head on swivel if you're a coach, even a player, for that matter.
Huh?
Even if you're a player, coach, doesn't matter.
What are you going to do? I mean, if you're Dave Clawson, you're any coach.
You got to go recruit.
But how many you got to have? Three?
Well, I mean, let's just take the team in this league that's running the show.
Well, and I'm going to go back to what you said to me when we were sitting there watching the championship game. When Trevor Lawrence goes to the bench in the fourth quarter, late third quarter of the Virginia-Clemson game, and Chase Bryce comes in and takes three steps and guns one across the field to the far side, makes a long throw, you look at me and go, he can play too.
That kid could play for 95% of America.
No question.
Yeah.
And Chase Bryce, no offense, it's going to be a math game with DJ. I got to learn it before next year.
Just call him DJ.
DJ. So you got that guy. You're going to have Chase Bryce.
You're always going to have players.
Who's the other kid
you're always going to have players.
But how many you got to have?
Well, I mean, listen, Dabo had, what, five 2 years ago, and all of a sudden, by the end of the first month of the season,
Cooper's gone.
He was down to one.
Right.
I mean, and that's the ultimate college football program. It's going through it. So, you know, if you're Wake Forest, the good news is, hey, you at least know that Hartman can play.
So
But I mean, I would have loved to have seen Jamie Newman stay with the Deacs.
Absolutely.
Right.
Especially with where the league may be next year at quarterback.
Right. No question.
Okay. So now it used to be, in the good old days, it used to be five to play four. Now it's not.
Mm-mm.
Now it's four to play three. Right?
Well, he's a really good player.
Or three to play three.
And he's going to be missed at Wake Forest without question. He's going to be missed in the ACC without a doubt. But, but I will say this, though, Wes. He got his degree. And you know what? And that is the object of the game, whether you're playing the NFL, whatever the case may be. Had a great academic institution at Wake Forest. Turned out to be a really good player. Was given an opportunity. Took advantage of it. Got his degree. He's got 1 year of eligibility left, and good for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you wish him the best. I wish he would still stay in the league, but I totally understand in this day and age, that's how it works.
I think Tom Luganville is supposed to be with us at some point, either if not tomorrow, then first of next week. Is that right?
It's the rumor.
I think that's the case. We got a maybe. Is that a maybe tomorrow?
Or well, a maybe you know, Luge is busy.
That's a no tomorrow, maybe next week. So if we get Luge in here, or we get somebody in here that understands the recruiting yin and yang, if you will, of like windows to play, maybe we can get our arms around what the new world is.
Well, I know this much. It puts coaches' head on swivel because kids can get up and move in a millisecond, much less a graduate transfer. So that was unfortunate news for Wake Forest in the ACC. Then we had two games, Wes.
Yeah.
The one here in our backyard, Kentucky and Virginia Tech, Bud Foster's last game, an incredible run, great coach.
Right.
Been great to work with and everything else. And quite frankly, the Hokies let that one get away.
Oh, yeah.
They let that one get away.
Yeah.
That game had a little bit of everything. The chippiness, an hour and a half before the game.
When it started. You got
people punching people. I mean, the whole thing was kind of a zoo.
Well, and Beth Mowins and Anthony Beck were talking about this. It started at one of the bowl events out at the Speedway.
Right.
What in the world are we?
People barking at one another.
Yeah.
Who knew the animosity between Virginia Tech and Kentucky was as bad as it was? Then you had all this nonsense.
Now that's Lynn Bowden, by the way.
That's it.
And then you got
nice upper right here. I mean, the whole thing's
what are we doing here? And Lynn Bowden is fired up. Now, this is a tough kid now from Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh, he's a talent.
Wide receiver.
Oh, he's a talent now.
Tough kid with big-time skill set who essentially salvaged the season for Kentucky when he got moved to quarterback. But none of this is what we're in this for.
Oh, there's a bad look for everybody.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
But the unfortunate thing is how the game ended. I mean, Virginia Tech had a chance just to close the deal. Defense on the field. It was like the fitting, perfect end for Bud Foster's guys. By the way, they gave up 331 on the ground, which is always a problem. And, man, they had a chance here.
Yeah.
They just had a chance. It would have been the perfect way for Bud Foster to close out his career by having the defense shut it down for the W. But unfortunately, it did not end that way.
Well, like I tell people, you can't write the script at the end, you know? You would have liked to have had the storybook ending for Bud Foster. It didn't happen. Kentucky picked up the 4th-and-1 there, and that was essentially the second of two plays. And then here's the little wedge shot into the end zone to take the lead at the end.
Can't get behind you, man.
Yeah,
and then
Virginia Tech fumbles the ball on the last play of the ball game, and UK runs it in. So
disappointing end for the Hokies on that front, because that was one you just got a sense, you know, just guys, go close the deal.
Yeah.
Defense on the field, a little pride, a little joy, do it for Bud. Did not work.
Yeah, I thought that we would see, and again, congratulations to Bud Foster, an unbelievable run.
Incredible.
And a legacy at Virginia Tech that certainly, you know, is – right there in the shadow of Frank Beamer, he did a marvelous job and countless players and all those type things. I thought we'd see a little bit more of a motivated effort. Does that make sense?
Just couldn't tackle the guy. Now, listen, Bud's been doing this to everybody, so it's not like
you're right.
This is one of those exclusivity deals. But you give up 331 on the ground, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And he was a problem.
And you knew coming in that was the problem, because if you turn on the Louisville tape, that was the problem.
We talked about the fact that Mobile quarterbacks have been an issue for Virginia Tech here over the last couple of years.
I think Mark Stoops went back and looked at some of the old Georgia Tech stuff.
No doubt. And said, hey, you know, we could do this. This guy we got back here is a hard – I mean, he's a hard deal to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's what it was. But the tough loss for the Hokies. And then we had the Noles, Tony the Tiger's Sun Bowl. And now we got to put up with the Lumberjack.
Go ahead.
Lumberjack fever.
Come on, Drew. Let's go. Spark it up. Tell us all about it. Nothing?
I don't think he wants to talk about it.
Don't want to talk about it?
Not a single offensive touchdown, and they win the game.
What?
What happened? Did they win?
Oh, really?
Who won?
Oh, come on.
Hey, don't play that with us, man. It's 2020.
You wore the hoodie in here.
That was a terrible football game. I'm glad nobody has to suffer through another one.
You know, you could have pulled that act in 2019, brother, but it's 2020. Yeah. We ain't playing anymore.
How many field goals did you kick in that game there, Coach Herm?
Quattro.
Huh?
Four.
How many did you kick? Four. Right? Spark it up. Unbelievable.
All right, so Florida State.
Move on to Mike Norvell.
I mean, they are. Thank goodness.
Let's move on.
I mean, so, but, you know, they did some things in this game where you're like, well, you know what? The offensive line was actually okay for a while. They moved the ball. The problem is six turnovers. Wes, who are you going to beat with six turnovers?
And I understand. And it never seemed to play.
What is
That's
that?
The thing.
That was a killer right there.
Yeah, it was a total killer.
Pick six, for two, get the 2-point conversion. Florida State had chances. They really did. It's going to be intriguing to see, though, this move forward.
Spring is going to be very interesting in Tallahassee.
Yep. And in Miami.
Yes.
The Sunshine State is going to be loaded with unbelievable storylines. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt.
Yep.
Both coming off losing seasons. We harped on this all summer last year. Virginia Tech, Miami, Florida State. Got to have bounce back years. Two of the three end up with losing seasons. Got to be better.
Affects the league.
Without a doubt. I mean, it really is a critical, critical priority one, I think, for the conference.
Yeah.
And that's no knock on anybody else that had a great year, like Louisville, who had a pleasant surprise, North Carolina with a bounce back year. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech, who found it midway through the season despite the loss in the bowl game.
Yep.
There's some good storylines this side of Death Valley, but Miami and Florida State, now 6-7 is not on the drawing board for this conference.
By the way, if you're Florida State, I don't know. You can tell me how great December went in recruiting. You might be able to tell me February will be better, that second signing period. You've already had your two most important recruits sign. Marvin Wilson and Tamarian Terry are coming back.
Pat. Well, it's good that they're coming back, but there's work to be done now. I mean, that's not going to
Well, they got to solve the quarterback situation.
No doubt. You kidding?
And that could get very interesting quick.
How about both places? I mean, what's Miami's quarterback situation? I mean, the week of the game that you did down at Shreveport, Manny Diaz telling us, hey, we're going to have some more competition this week, find out who our starters. I mean, these storylines.
And then they played three guys.
Right. The storylines in Tallahassee and Coral Gables will be fascinating in the next 3 months.
Yep.
Really going to be interesting.
Yep.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Of course, you guys here on ACC Network, streaming live, ESPN app, SiriusXM 371. ACC is 4-5 in bowls.
Yes, sir.
One more today with Boston, BC in Birmingham taking on Cincinnati. That's at 3 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And then you got this little game down in New Orleans we're going to get to eventually with Clemson and LSU for the belt. And Dabo was making the rounds during the Miami-Clemson basketball game and had a few things to say.
Did he?
He did.
Huh.
He was giving letter grades out.
No kidding?
Yes, he was regarding the Tigers. Here's what he said.
I gave us a B- in that game on our execution, and only a B- because of how we finished in the fourth quarter. So we're going to play our A game, but that's the way it should be. You're going to win a game like that, you need to have to play well.
Huh.
B-, he says. That might have had something to do with the team that you were playing. That's a pretty good outfit now. They will take you, out of what makes it comfortable. So when you play good teams, you know what, Wes? The good news is Tigers didn't turn it over. Ohio State turned it over twice, right? Justin Fields threw one interception all season. He threw two, including the game winner for the Tigers.
By the way, Nolan Turner with us in the right at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. There's no doubt they'll have to play a ball next Monday night.
There's no doubt.
They don't play a ball, they won't win. LSU's that talented. And I think LSU would tell you the same thing,
yep.
Which is why this ball game, I think, deserves the hype. And I think you said this earlier in the week. Here's why the game deserves the hype. These are two of the three best teams in college football this year.
Yep, there's three great teams, and two of them are still left.
Yeah, and we're getting them a week from Monday night.
And if Clemson's going to win the national championship, they're going to have to beat both of them. And you know what? As Dabo said, that's the way it's supposed to be, and he's right.
Yeah.
100% right.
Because watching the bowls, the one thing in watching, and you don't have to watch them all, right? You can watch bits and pieces of them. Quarter here, half there. Now, I did watch all the Rose Bowl and three quarters of the Sugar Bowl last night. There's a difference between those three schools and anybody else.
And no knock on a Rose Bowl game, which was out of sight.
It was.
Competitive, fun, 28-27, your final. Mm-hmm. But the intensity level, the quality of play, I mean, come on. The Fiesta Bowl was so good that all these other games, I watched some of Michigan and Alabama yesterday, and it was like those teams had no chance.
Against any of the three.
Against Ohio State or Clemson. None. Auburn, Minnesota, nice teams.
Or LSU.
Right. The three big boys. Yeah. I'm watching these games yesterday, and Baylor, Georgia last night, eight nice teams.
Right.
But not elite like these other three over here. I mean, it's just a different – this year's snapshot, those three are a cut above everybody else, period.
And the lucky part for the ACC is you got a school that's in there.
You got one of them.
Because I'm going to tell you now, you know where business is tough this morning? Let me tell you where business is tough this morning. Two places. Pac-12, Big 12. Business is tough.
The Big 12 finished up last night with Baylor losing to a Georgia team that I think, 12, 14, 15 dudes didn't even show up. Suspensions, injuries, NFL. And with Baylor's
and
loss last night.
And one receiver.
Yeah.
Georgia had one go-get-it receiver last night.
Well, guess what? The Big 12 finished 1-5 in bowls. So if you think the ACC's struggling at 4-5, hey, it could be worse. The Big 12, 1-5. Their only win was Texas destroying Utah.
Right.
I don't know where that Texas team was all year, but hey, bowls are weird.
Was
man.
That the August national champion Texas last night? The other night?
Yeah.
Your guys. My guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are three of them in college football, by the way. One of them's actually playing for the national championship.
But that was surprising because Kyle Whittingham normally is a great bowl coach.
Absolutely.
His record is the best in college football. And they got waxed.
But Texas played inspired.
Should have done.
That was, and you just said it, that was the Texas we all thought we were going to see most of the year.
Yeah. But if you watch the Fiesta Bowl and the quality of play, and if you watch what LSU did to Oklahoma, which should be against the law in 49 states, those three teams, I'm serious, those three teams are so much better than everybody else.
It's crazy.
It's not even funny.
Yeah. Well, Clemson will have to play a ball in New Orleans.
Because
they are going to be, and make no mistake, Clemson is going to be the road team in every sense of the word in New Orleans.
And I think they're good. I think they're good with that.
From the time they get off the plane to the time they get on the plane, they're going to be the visiting team.
But, Wes, you know what? They were the visiting team in the desert.
I know they were.
I mean, that was a
3-1 group, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was that way 3 years ago, and they shut them out 31-0. And I suspect it'd probably be worse in the Superdome.
Oh, yeah. No, it's already – Sean McDonough alluded to it last night, and I talked to somebody yesterday in New Orleans who said, you'll be stunned to know, he said it sarcastically, he said, you'll be stunned to know there are LSU people here well ahead of kickoff. I said, already? He goes, oh, yeah, already here and setting up base camp 10 days in advance.
Let me just say this. I don't know how this thing will play out in 10 days, 12 days, whatever the number is, but, again, the biggest word in sports is if.
Mm-hmm.
If Clemson wins that game, you can make the case in the last 2 years in the postseason, they would have beaten the best team LSU has ever had, the best team Alabama has ever had, the best team perhaps Ohio State has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Just let that marinate a second. And oh, by the way, just for fun, they beat Notre Dame by 4 touchdowns. I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But that's what it's going to have to take to go back-to-back. It is hard to do, man.
Yep.
So you just don't see it do it. You know, three teams have only done it winning 3 out of 4 national championships. Clemson has a chance with a great 60 minutes, but it's going to take a great 60 minutes to beat LSU.
Yeah, it is. Sure is. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting.
But I think they will be excited about being the road team.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that when you're great, you love going on the road.
And they get to wear all orange, too.
I just think great teams, like, they love to say, oh, really, there's going to be 70,000 rooting against us? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Great ones. The great teams love that. Teams that are frauds, not so much.
Yeah. Going to be interesting.
Yep. Going to be great.
Anything else last couple days while we were away yesterday?
Well, we had hoops, which we're going to get to.
Yeah, we'll get to hoops.
But from a football perspective, it was, you know, I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, again, I had a roaring fire going on upstairs. Mrs. P is sick as
it was 63 degrees.
I know, but I never left the
fire.
You know what? When I started the fire,
yeah,
it was 35 degrees.
All right, okay,
so I had a roaring fire all day.
Yeah, how'd you do?
That was great. But here's the problem: Mrs. P is sick.
Not good.
Now I think I'm getting sick. But nevertheless, so I never left the house until you showed up. Thank goodness. But Mrs. Jean's miracle bread.
Miss Jean sent you the homemade sugar cake.
Love that.
Yeah. 844 say ACC in Irvin in Virginia with Packer and Durham. Irvin, how are you?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
I guess it's like a Happy New Year to you, too. I have two things. Always respected your expertise and your father's. My first subject is in sports, when somebody makes a good play, scores a goal or a touchdown, the guys pat each other on the backside. Why and where does that come from? I've never had the inclination to do so.
All right. I don't know that. Do you?
Well, you know, I don't know the actual origin, but, you know, the first time I ever noticed it was Dean Smith.
The guys pat each other. Oh, the pointing?
Pointing.
Oh, that, yeah, Coach Smith was always big about thank the guy for the pass.
Right.
Yeah. I think he's saying guys pat each other on the backside.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. So what's the second question? We can't help you with that one. We're not that good.
The 1957 National Championship Basketball, Will Chamberlain.
At Carolina? Uh-huh.
I've never seen a repeat of that on TV. I would love to if you could
change
that.
I'll tell you why you've never seen a repeat of it is because, and I'm going to draw a blank on the technology. Kinescope, I think, was the technology used to broadcast it. The 1957 National Championship game, this was way before television rights and all sorts of other things. The game was actually done. I think Chesley was involved in the game, wasn't he?
I think he was.
Yeah, Chesley was involved in the game. Castleman, Detali Chesley, C.D. Chesley, who later created the ACC basketball package. They broadcast the game, I think, on Kinescope, and that's how it came. It was only on in television in North Carolina. I know this because the story of people going to the hardware store, because that's where they sold the televisions at the time.
Looking through the glass.
Mm-hmm. And they'd actually put the speaker on the street so you could hear the TV.
It's what people do here in our backyard. They actually, if you look close enough, the people be pressing their faces up against the French doors to see what we're doing.
No, they won't.
I'm just kidding.
don't give people ideas. But no, I think the 57 game, there are clips of it, but there's the complete game in its entirety. I'm not sure it exists. Heck, to be honest with you, Irvin, we're just hoping that the 74 tape exists.
I would say our trivia question to start 2020, that we were 0-2 with Irvin. We had no idea who just generated the pat on the back.
Backside. You know,
well, backside. Or much less the point. We gave the point thinking, oh, ACC love there.
I think that was some – it may have been a Dean Smith, Fog Allen-ish type
I would
thing.
Guess that is where it started.
So.
But I don't know the answer to 57 – basketball game. I have no earthly idea. I know one thing. I know where the 57 team played.
Will and Jim.
Matter of fact, but a perfect segue. You'd almost thought we scripted this.
You would. So I went home to see my mom.
Thank God.
Yeah, for the sugar cake.
Magic bread. Miss Jean's magic bread.
So a couple things here for the basement. This is actually... and I want to get this right, and there's a little bit of explanation. This was a the original floor from Woolen Gym in 1938. Carolina played their games in Woolen Gym from 38 to 66. And the floor was replaced in a $500 million capital improvement program. And it was interesting because a local salvage company donated 5,000 square feet of the timeless floor to a reuse center. And this guy got a 4x7 piece of the floor and cut it up. And this is from under one of the baskets at Woolen Gym. And this right here, this part, is the floor of Woolen Gym. And somebody gave this to my dad years ago. And I saw this and I thought, well, you know what?
Perfect.
We probably need to have that.
Yeah.
Basement.
Love it.
So, the other one over there is,
this is your history lesson on a Thursday for Packer and Durham.
Yeah. There so the second one is this one right here. And this is something that the university did when they did the renovation and changed it from Carmichael Auditorium to Carmichael Arena. This is a part of the floor from Carmichael Auditorium. And that then it became Carmichael Arena and so forth. But this is a piece of the floor. Now, this was all done. This was all very official, you know, licensed. And you got the gold seal up here
because
you got to have the gold seal. Yeah. So, yeah, these will be things. And again, we, as Packer likes to say, we now have a closet that's unbelievable.
It's like a museum.
And, we're getting and gathering from ACC schools. I have something else that needs to be professionally, done. And when I do that one day, we're going to carve out a segment.
But just think about the players that graced that wood and Woolen Gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable, right? Who's who?
Fuller, you don't get to eat the Woolen Gym.
Well, be careful. As far as Fuller's concerned, that's a nice looking stick.
Yeah, exactly.
Believe me.
So, and then later in the show, right here, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that one later.
That right there is a classic, and we'll get to that too. That's a picture that I found. So, we have an interesting topic. Did you hear last night? Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge actually had a conversation for a couple of minutes because they had plenty of time because the game was a little balky. Matt Rhule has already told his team, hey, guys, look, I owe it to myself to talk to these NFL teams. Matt Rhule, Baylor, 3 years.
Well, first of all, you know, you got to take care of you.
I understand that part, but are you surprised that in 3 years Matt Rhule is going to talk to NFL teams?
No.
I'm not trying to get him a job. I mean, I want everybody, and I know there are guys at Clemson who look and take some of the things we say on this show and make it the gospel on message boards.
Is that right?
Yeah. Their quotes that
it's
get cut out.
Scary.
But I want to say this to the Clemson people. I want camera two here to understand this. I'm not saying Dabo Swinney should go to the NFL. I'm not saying that. I just find it interesting that NFL teams come up with all sorts of college names, Matt Rhule, David Shaw. It won't be long before you hear other names, right?
Tabo's got a better job than the NFL guys. Dude's making $9 million. Come on, man. He hasn't paid for a meal in a decade. Why would you leave?
I don't think he would.
You wouldn't leave.
But why do we have all these names of guys who are going to move from college to the NFL and the most successful guy?
Simple. Matt Rhule is an East Coast guy, number one.
Okay.
He's living
They think they can get him.
Well, I mean, I think he's a really good coach.
No question.
Did a great job at Temple. They'd lost 11 games 2 years ago. He turned those guys around to get them to the Sugar Bowl. He's got a pro mentality with his approach. You're living in Waco, Texas. You got a chance to make serious coin in the NFL. You got to at least have that conversation. Doesn't mean you got to take the job.
All right.
But you'd be crazy not to look.
All right.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Nolan Turner coming up top of the hour.
What a great story.
Oh, ridiculous.
What an unbelievable
story.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him.
Ian Fitzsimmons, when he was with us, was kind of talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets the pick last year in the semis. He gets the pick in the semi to eliminate the Buckeyes.
Right.
And one of the all-time great games, classic. As Clemson knocks off Ohio State, and he'll join us coming up top of the hour.
I appreciate Irvin's call from Virginia. Our man Drew Brooks lead singer driver of the Winnebago of this program, wouldn't you say?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. What do you mean sometimes?
Well, when he's got the Arizona State gear on, I'm a little nervous.
Really?
Yeah. Guy's got a broken finger. He's out there with a chainsaw. That's our leader.
Wow. Apparently, are we saying that the history of butt slaps started in baseball? Is that what we're coming to find out here, Drew, from some of your deep research?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't read the article. It seemed rather long. I just wanted to get you guys the information.
Great. Thanks.
It's required reading for after the show, though.
It's what a good producer does, just provide you with the information and let you do the work.
We appreciate that.
Sure.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you chiming in.
All right. Let's get on to our next subject, because I have no idea what the answer is to that question.
I don't either. We'll figure it out. So we said this going to the break. There's some coaches in college, and I think you're right on this, by the way. And that's why I prefaced all this by saying I'm not saying Dabo Swinney's going to the NFL. I'm not saying, but he's established such a college conglomerate and such a college system with his program. He's untouchable to the NFL.
It's a bad job. You know who's hiring in the NFL? Terrible teams. If you're Dabo Swinney and you're making 9 point whatever, you got the Taj Mahal facilities.
Right.
You're on top of the college football world. You got the best program in the country.
Right.
Incredible loyalty with your staff. You're recruiting at a ridiculous level with the number one class.
Right.
You own the league.
Right.
Why in the world would you say, hey, you know what? Right. Quality of life. Let me be the coach of the terrible Cleveland Browns and move to Cleveland. No, man. Come on. These dudes aren't leaving for those.
That's
gigs.
What I'm saying. Established college coaches. And look, their coaches. And you know the list. It's actually been an NFL Network half-hour show about college coaches that went to the NFL, missed, and came back. And they just did a CFB 150 about it, about college coaches who went to the NFL and hit and college coaches that went to the NFL and missed. And the list is long and distinguished, especially on the missed side.
But you know what? Even in past history, and not that this becomes all about money, I don't think a lot of it's about control and ego and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But, Wes, the top coaches in college football now are making so much money.
They're making as much money. They're making more money than the NFL guys.
Why would you take a pay cut unless you're just like, hey, I'm fed up with recruiting. I don't like this transfer portal. I don't like the direction we're going in. So, you know what? I've done all I can accomplish here. So, you know what? I'll jump in the deep end of the pool of the NFL and just give that a try for 3 years. Other than that, man, there's no way in the world that the elite – would sit there and go, hey, let me give up everything I've got here at Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, so I can go jump on the New York Jets job mm-hmm. or the New York Giants job.
Like, right.
Who wants that nonsense?
Well, why wouldn't you then say, I've reached the pinnacle of the profession, and I didn't have to go to the pros to do it?
Well, I mean, everybody's different. I mean, if Jim Harbaugh wants to be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, I'm sure they can line up a meeting. You know, maybe you've reached the point in the college game where you realize, you know what, I've really kind of taken this as far as I can go. If I'm Matt Rhule, I mean, what's Matt Rhule supposed to do? He had Baylor in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable job given where they were on the field and off the field 2 years ago.
Right.
He's an East Coast guy. I totally get why he would at least listen to an NFL gig. Totally get it. I mean, what else is he going to do at Baylor? Who wants to live in Waco when you could be an NFL coach? What I'm saying?
And he could pull off the radiation vest,
well,
too.
And he said this would be the last time he's going to do it. But, you know, he's always going to play behind Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. Always.
Oh, there's another guy.
Well, you know, Lincoln Riley has yet to win a college football playoff game. But the NFL loves his offensive magnitude of what he can dial up and all that stuff.
He also might be smart enough not to take the Dallas job.
But, you know what? If somebody is going to give you $10 million... and say, hey, we need you to be the guy. You know what? You'd be crazy not to at least listen and then figure it out.
You and I remember when Lou Holtz went to the Jets.
It was one of the worst days of my life because I was a huge NC State fan growing up, and Lou Holtz was my guy. The Bucky twins and everybody else.
Yeah, for all those NC State people, by the way, that think Billy hated NC State, Mark loved them.
I was a huge NC State fan growing up as a kid. Love Lou Holtz. in the Bucky
tournament. Norm Sloan, whole bit. David Thompson.
NC State in the '70s, man, they were killer.
Yeah.
But when Holtz left to go to New York,
so you hated Carolina? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I hated Carolina. Are you kidding me? There's a Billy. I'm messing with you. But when Lou Holtz left to go to the Jets, right, Fuller.
Come here. Right. Come on.
I mean, that was a dark day in Raleigh. It really was, because he had it going on at NC State.
Right.
And that didn't, well, you know, that was a disaster, too, in the city, too. I mean, that just did not work out.
No. Not at all.
Rest is history.
Not at all.
Steve Spurrier, brilliant coach, right? Hall of Famer.
Goes to the Redskins.
Awful. Running his mouth about preseason games. I don't know why them boys spend all that time, you know, on tape. No, okay, coach. How'd that work out?
Right.
Nick Saban, greatest of all time. Went to the Dolphins. How'd that work out? I mean, it's a hard job. It's a totally different beast.
Yeah.
Different beast.
Bizarre.
But, I mean, Dabo would be crazy going to the NFL.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I prefaced this whole thing by saying that, by the way.
Crazy.
I know. See? Fuller's already upset about it. Fuller, I said.
He wants part of that woolen gym stick you got up here on the desk.
Woolen gym stick, Fuller. Sorry.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Nolan Turner, safety for the Tigers, will join us coming up at the top of the hour. We look forward to that conversation. But we head down to the Sunshine State, where BD is up next. BD, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. Enjoy your show. Wanted to say something about the college coaches moving to the NFL. But first, I'd like to say to both of you guys, I had a encounter with both you guys' dads, a short encounter with both of them. Was a golf pro back in South Carolina back in the day, and actually played golf.
Wait, hold on. Where were you a golf pro?
At the Cliffs at Glassy in Links of Tryon in upstate.
That's nice.
So,
yeah.
I played, ran into your dad, Woody, at Myrtle Beach one time with two of my golf pro buddies, and we were, they asked if, the pro at the shop asked if we minded a guy joining us, and Woody played golf with us, had a great day, enjoyed his stories, but the funny thing is he beat all of us. Good player.
Sandbagger.
BD, did you pay
and then up? And then at one time, even earlier than that, I met Billy Packer over at Clemson. I was trying to get into the ACC officiating, and my friend was with me, and he actually got in. And Billy came over and talked to us both after the orange and white game at Clemson. We were both high school officials. And he said, you guys look like you got a good chance of making it. So we were both impressed. And my friend actually did. I got a promotion with a job I had at that time, and couldn't take a full time basically refereeing job. But my buddy, y'all all remember him, Mike Wood. He refereed in the ACC for a long time. Very good.
Absolutely.
But anyway, yeah, getting back to the
Mike's tremendous. Mike's a tremendous.
Yeah, Mike.
Guy.
Mike's a great guy, and it was an excellent official. Really good official.
Yeah.
And but anyway, getting back to the Dabo Swinney NFL thing. My thinking on this is, and you may agree or disagree, but I think the big problem is I don't think that his style suits the NFL. I think the family style that Dabo has at Clemson and has developed and turned Clemson into what it is with his style of coaching and his style of relationship with the players, I don't think that works in the NFL. And I think those NFL guys, the GMs, I think that they understand that and really aren't interested in that. They're more like, you know, the Jerry Jones type. They're business, all the time. And I just my opinion, but I think that has a lot to do with it.
I think you're right on. I think Dabo is Let me put it this way. I think all the things that Dabo's done to create Clemson have been incredibly positive. And I'll be honest with you, I think it scares the NFL guys because he is that good at finding something to motivate. And I'll say this now, having been able to be very fortunate in my career to do college football a long time and to do the NFL now for 16 years, they're two different sports, guys. I tell everybody all the time, the National Football League is a different game. The National Football League is a chess match of your 53 as much as it is a game about the stars. And I'll say this too. The other part, Mark, about the National Football League is the National Football League is a little bit like the NBA, and it skews to about 16 or 20 players too. It's about who do you have? How many big guns do you have on a team? And sometimes the best teams don't win because they don't have the best players or the star, if you will. I'll say this though. Everybody can run and everybody can hit at that level. There is a difference in scheme and a difference in coaching, but it's a different kind of football.
I'm going to say the same thing I said 20 minutes ago. He'd be out of his mind.
No, and I just think it's a curious question because last night we had Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge talk about Matt Rhule after 3 years now potentially going to the New York Giants, which is where he is rumored to be interviewing at some point here in the next 48 hours.
Again, totally different deal.
Yeah, it is.
Totally different deal.
But it's also, isn't it interesting sometimes the coach in college that catches the flair of the National Football League? Don't you find that always to be a curious? Like, you know David Shaw, and you got great respect for David Shaw. I mean, you've told me that David Shaw is one of the most impressive guys you've ever been around, right?
David Shaw answered a question. I asked him about going to the NFL. And again, if you don't know who he is, you must be under a rock. He's the head football coach at Stanford. I know they had a down year this year.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he has just built a really great program. And sure. I asked him about going to the NFL. And his answer was really interesting. Because he said, you know, Pac, he goes, I got a great family. We live in Palo Alto, one of the great places to live in the world. He says, you know, if something goes haywire with my family, wife, kids.
Right.
There's probably somebody on our campus that is the greatest in the world at what they do that can help us.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that's why, you know what, for the most part, I like where we work and live. And I thought that answer was sensational.
Yeah.
I think Fuller's looking for his ball. That's what I think he's looking for. Since you won't give him the stick, I think he's looking for the ball.
Uh-huh. During the break, well, before we get to Nolan Turner, we'll have to go out and throw the ball for a minute.
Well, we may not have to wait for that. At this rate, we may just have our man Robert go belly first outside the camera to find the ball. And miraculously,
Robert
there it is.
Robert found the ball, and there it is.
And there we go.
There we go. All is good. Just like that, kids.
That's how we roll.
It's amazing how this show works.
Is there another ESPN show where you can just see that take place? The answer is no, there isn't.
Let me tell you what. Get Up comes on about 8 o'clock. I guarantee you they don't throw a ball to a dog.
No, they don't have somebody in the back crawling on all fours.
I know on First Take they don't. They're not throwing a ball on First Take.
There's not another show on ESPN that does what we do.
Huh? All right, give me
Trust you.
Give me the ball. Ready? There you go. All right.
Robert's going to have to go underneath the chair again.
I'll figure it out. All right. Nolan Turner coming up. But thanks for the call, BD. That was fun.
Yeah. Roddy Jones will also join us in hour number two, your partner.
Roddy Jones is coming on this show? Yeah. I bet he's got some thoughts about Jamie Newman.
Well, that's why we're bringing him on the show.
Okay. Meanwhile, I'm going to throw the ball to Fuller.
We were going hoops for a second, and then we got sidetracked.
Yeah, we'll push hoops back to after Nolan Turner and fill in the blank at 8:15.
Hold on a second, real quickly. Boston, the game you did, BC Duke. I mean, that thing got ugly in a hurry.
Well, Matthew Hurt outscored Boston College in the first half. Now, BC's playing without Nick Popovich,
which is big.
Well, and there's no timetable for the return. Let me say this. Trey Jones, one thing. When he's rolling and he was out for two ball games and came back the other night, in order for BC to be successful, Stephon Mitchell's got to be a factor at three levels, rebounding, assist, and scoring. Derek Thornton got hurt early in the game, but Duke was determined. Duke played with the edge. I thought they just and here's the thing, and Jordan Cornette brought this up on the air, and I'll vouch for him on this one. Duke can go 10 deep.
Mm-hmm. They're getting good play off the bench.
Well, and they're going 10 deep, and not many Duke teams have been able to go 10 deep.
You're right.
I think you and I have been around the block long enough to know that the 10 deep is going to be very interesting the later in the year, because that would be unlike some Duke teams.
Almost all Duke teams.
Right. And I'm not saying that this one will be like the others and pair from 10 to 7. They could go 10 deep. Now, as I asked Jordan the other night in the second half, is Duke's 10 and Florida State's 12 different?
I think it is.
I do too. So, and here's the other thing.
But I like them both, though.
After seeing him live for a second time, Vernon Carey is going to be a problem. Vernon Carey is going to be a problem because I think he can score, obviously. I think he's very good block to block. I happen to think he does a really good job, and Jordan pointed this out in the first half. He presents himself for passes well. I think he knows position, he knows footwork, and he can score. But he's even better when Matthew Hurt's knocking down shots and Trey Jones is on the floor.
Well, they make shots, Wes, and now you got to go out and defend the perimeter. Guess right. What's open inside?
Vernon Carey.
Big man kills people.
Yeah.
Right, and he just eats them for lunch.
Yeah.
And then you throw Trey Jones in that leadership, getting him back. Duke's going to be a tough out.
Yeah. No I'm with you on that. I think what we're finding is that Duke could be a bit of a separator.
Well, we'll see. You know what? This weekend, we have Florida State and Louisville this weekend. That is a really, really interesting game for me.
Louisville's got to shoot it good.
That game is going to be – we'll learn something about the league at the top after Florida State and Louisville get together this
weekend. And Devin Vassell on this show.
That's right.
Done today.
That's going to be a
that?
Ball game.
Tell you what, Roddy Jones,
there's a couple
Nolan
games,
Turner, Devin Vassell.
There's a couple games this weekend of keeping an eye on them. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Virginia Tech is a keep an eye on game. Virginia's got to start figuring out a way to score, and the Hokies can light it up when they're good from the outside. They're going to be a problem.
Sounds like you're going sneaky Hokies a little bit.
You know, it's not like they haven't won there before.
Sneaky Hokies.
I think it's a game to keep an eye on. There's a two or three of this weekend, and I just gave you two of them.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.